Here in Philippians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul, down in verse 14 to 16, is giving us some great advice about how we are to behave in the midst of this world. Because we are in the midst of this world, and there's nothing we can do about that, except maybe run and hide, which we're not supposed to do. And while we're in the midst of this world, we have a job to do, we have a responsibility of things to get accomplished, and we have a testimony to maintain. So that begins in verse 14 of Philippians chapter 2, where the Bible says, "Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain." So I'm going to focus on that phrase, "in the midst," there in verse 15. That'll be our title today. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we pray you'll use your word in our hearts now to grow us, to teach us, to speak miracles in our lives. And I pray, Lord, that we would realize how important it is that we fulfill our mission as your children while we're here on this earth. And Lord, those that are in the service that are not sure they're born again, may they realize how important it is that they trust Jesus Christ and become part of God's family. So we commit the time to you and pray you'll guide us in your truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I was going to have 7 points, but I think I'll narrow it down to 3. Make it easier. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to say, number one, if we're going to be effective in the midst of this world that we find ourselves in, we have to avoid distractions. Number two, we have to maintain a proper testimony. And then number three, we have to have an influence in this world. And we're going to focus on those three things. And so the first thing there in verse 14, no murmurings, no disputings. You see, the devil, he obviously doesn't want people to get saved. But once they do, he doesn't want them to be effective. So one of the things he does with Christians is he gets them distracted about things that really are not important when it comes to eternity. These murmurings and disputings. He's very good at this. Now that word murmurings means to grudge or to grumble or to have secret displeasure. It's one of Satan's number one ways of getting Christians to waste their time and energy. To complain, to murmur, to not forgive those that have wronged them. How many Christians, if you think about it right now, I mean, it's just a general question, but how many Christians do you think today, at this moment, are not in church and should be in church, but they spent too much time murmuring about the things of God, murmuring about this and that, murmuring about others, murmuring about church, and they don't go anymore? They got distracted. They got sidetracked. Or how many Christians aren't in church today because someone wronged them? Someone upset them? Someone hurt their feelings, God forbid. And they refused to get it right, and they decided, well, I'm going to punish the entire church and quit going. You say, oh, that never happens. Actually, it happens more than you would think. It would be the number one reason why people leave churches. But go to 1 Corinthians 10:10. God gives us a warning here, using Israel as an example, about this word murmuring. And it's such a dangerous thing. 1 Corinthians 10:10, he's talking about Israel, and he says, "Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer." He's talking about Israel. And if you go back, and we're going to do this as we walk through Exodus through Joshua together on Sunday nights, but if you begin to look at what made God angry the most times, it was murmuring. It was murmuring, complaining about their circumstances, about Moses, about God. They complained about the food, the water, the spies' report, the desert, their leadership. We could go on and on. But it angered God. At one point in Numbers 17, he called the murmurers rebels. Satan's very good at distracting Christians with murmuring. And we need to be careful that he doesn't distract us with murmuring. Amen? Oh, thank you, brother. He just happened to have one. Here's the Lord. This is used. The third person? Yeah, I don't think I'm going to do that. Okay, this is used by me, right? All right. James, there's rules, brother, there's rules. Number two, disputings, another distraction. Have you ever heard Christians arguing about silly doctrinal things? Yep. Debating. God did not call us to debate, my friend. He called us to witness. Too many Christians waste too much time debating. If there's someone that doesn't agree with you on doctrine, fine. Leave it. You can debate it in heaven, amen? When you have forever to talk about it. By the way, you're going to find out which one's right and which one's wrong, and there won't be a debate. But why waste time debating down here? Why waste time disputing down here? And yet Satan is so good at this. Getting people so wrapped up in such minor stuff. It talks about in Ephesians 4:14 about being blown about with every wind of doctrine. No, don't get caught up in murmurings and disputings. We are in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. We have a job to do, and the devil does not want you to do it. So he's going to try to distract you with murmurings and disputings. That we henceforth be no more children, Ephesians 4:14, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. That should not be us. And so as we focus on this fact that we are in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, the first huge piece of advice that Paul gives to us is avoid murmurings and disputings. Don't get distracted by these things. If there's something you're going to complain about, stop and be thankful instead. Amen? Don't complain. Complaining just angers God. If there's someone that's wronged you, get it right. End of story. And if there's someone that you disagree with on a minor doctrinal point, stop debating. If they're part of this church and they don't agree with our doctrine, well, come tell me about it and we'll sort it out. But if it's someone not in this church, don't debate. Just love them. If they have a need, meet it. They don't have to be your best friend, but don't waste all these hours debating and disputing. So the second point we see here in verse 15 of our passage is our testimony must be maintained. So we must not get distracted, number one, by the murmurings and disputings. But number two, we have to maintain a good testimony in the midst of this world. And that's where he uses words like blameless and harmless and without rebuke. Now that word blameless, that's a big word, isn't it? Let's look at 1 Peter 2:12. And what it means is that we need to do our best to make sure that there aren't people in this world that can blame us for wrongdoing. We are to be, it doesn't mean we're sinless, but it does mean that when it comes to the world, they can't look and say, oh yeah, that person is a dishonest, or that person doesn't pay their bills, or that person this, that person secretly goes to the pub, or whatever. The world shouldn't be able to do that to Christians, amen? We should be blameless. Notice 1 Peter 2:12. Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles. that whereas they spake evil against you, they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. It doesn't mean if you maintain a blameless testimony before the world that they're going to stop attacking you. They're not going to stop attacking you. They might even keep trying to throw false accusations at you. But what Paul is saying there is just keep doing right. Maintain a testimony before the world. Because we're here to reach the world. And if we've ruined our testimony before the world, we've lost our effectiveness. Because they won't listen to us. Because they see us as a big hypocrite. And so one part of our testimony is blameless. Another part, verse 15, harmless. Harmless. What a word. Look at Matthew 10:16, where Jesus sent out his disciples in the early part of his ministry. And look at this advice that he gave here in Matthew 10:16. He says, "Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves." Wow. I'm sending you forth, my disciples, and this is when he was originally sending them to Israel, but he said, I'm sending you forth as sheep surrounded by wolves. And my advice to you isn't that you become someone who can fight wolves. No, I want you to be wise as a serpent, but I want you to be harmless as a dove. That still stands today. We're still to be harmless. Amen? Blameless and harmless. Our testimony must be that we are harmless as Christians. That we're not out there screaming at people. We're not out there abusing people. We're out there loving people. Amen? We are harmless when it comes to the gospel of Jesus Christ. As it says there in verse 15, sons of God. Blameless and harmless. And then he says in verse 15, without rebuke. Again, this goes back, if you go to Ephesians 4:1, it goes back to our testimony. There shouldn't be anyone who has been able to rebuke us for wrongdoing amidst this world. Ephesians 4:1, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. That is our mission, that we walk worthy of our vocation. What is that? We are Christian. We should walk worthy of that name. We are a soldier. We are a servant. We should walk worthy of these things. And so, in giving advice on how to handle ourselves in the midst of this crooked and perverse nation, first of all, Paul says, don't get distracted with murmurings and disputings. Don't waste all this time on stuff that you're not going to care about when you get to heaven. And then maintain a testimony before this world. God wants us to be blameless and harmless and without rebuke. And then he says in verse 15, our title, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. Yes, it's wicked. This world is bad. It's horrible. And you know what? The Bible doesn't say it's going to get better. It actually says it's going to get worse. Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, the Bible says, deceiving and being deceived. So what? It just means Jesus is coming soon. And that should just make us excited. But until he does, don't get distracted. Maintain your testimony. Notice John chapter 17, verse 15, if you would. John 17, if you had to pick a passage to refer to as the Lord's Prayer, it would be John 17. This is Jesus actually praying for us. Amen? It's beautiful. But we're just going to look at one aspect of it here in John 17, verse 15. Jesus is praying for his disciples. current and future. And he says, verse 15, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. Isn't that good? Lord, I'm not praying that you pull them out of the world and put them in a separate commune and put a wall around them. No, but do please keep them from the evil. Those are two different things, aren't they? And it's a tough balance for us as Christians because we're told to be separate from the world, but we're told to be the salt of the world and the light of the world. That's a tough balance, to be salt and light while being separate. And that's exactly what Jesus was praying. We are in the midst, if you go to Ephesians 6:12, we are in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, and it's only going to get worse. But that doesn't give us an excuse to throw up our hands and quit. It doesn't give us an excuse to run and hide. No. We have a job to do. So don't get distracted. And maintain that testimony no matter what comes your way. In the midst of this crooked and perverse nation. Notice Ephesians 6:12. This is a kind of a description of what we live in. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wow, this world's a mess. Yeah. Satan's the god of this world. So it's a mess. But you know what? If you're born again, you're not part of it anymore. We have to live in it. But we're not citizens of it anymore. We're citizens of a new country called heaven. And that's how we should be living our lives. So number one, Paul says, don't get distracted by murmurings and disputings. Number two, maintain your testimony. Be blameless, harmless, without rebuke. And then number three, verse 15, have a powerful influence in the midst of this crooked and perverse nation by number one, verse 15, shining, and number two, holding forth the word of life. Look at it. Verse 15, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Isn't that good? We live in a crooked and perverse nation. It's full of darkness. What is our job? To moan and complain about it? To throw up our hands in despair? No. To shine. To be that light in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. Jesus is the light of the world. And you know what he said? I'm going to give you my light. And now you are the light of the world. And I want you to go and I want you to shine and take that light. Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men. The Bible says that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Look at Ephesians 5:8 if you would. Where the Bible says, you and I are children of light. Ephesians 5:8, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Be a light. Make a difference. Shine for Jesus. And the darker it gets, I reckon the more of a difference our lights can make. But the last thing we're supposed to do is quit or give up or get frustrated or say it can't be done. It's not in the Bible. No. Paul says, don't get distracted. Don't waste your time on murmurings and disputings. Keep that testimony. Be blameless and harmless and without rebuke. And keep shining. Amen? Keep shining for Jesus. But then verse 16, he says, while you're shining, another part of your influence is I want you to hold forth the word of life. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that our ultimate mission? It's to hold forth the word of life. Look at 1 John 1:1, if you would. 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. Do you know who the word of life is? It's Jesus. How can I hold forth Jesus? Well, because the word of life is Jesus, and Jesus is the word of life. And so if you'll give people this, give them the gospel, you're offering them Jesus. Notice 1 John 1:1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we've looked upon and our hands have handled, of the word of life. That's Jesus. Holding him forth, telling the world about him, telling the world he is the answer to their problems. And before Jesus left this earth, isn't that what he told his disciples? He didn't say, go into all the world and debate doctrine, did he? No. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Preach the truth. Preach what can save souls, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that is our mission, is to make a difference while maintaining that testimony, which is not easy to do in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. Maintaining that testimony of being without rebuke, of being blameless and harmless, that's not easy to do, but we're supposed to do it. Don't let the devil get us distracted. And what are we supposed to be focusing on? Shining in this dark world and holding forth the word of life. Look what Paul says in verse 16. That I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I've not run in vain, neither labored in vain. He's talking to the church of Philippi. He says, I don't want to get to the end of my ministry. I don't want to end up in heaven and look back and say that all that I invested in you at Philippi was in vain, because you didn't get it while you're here, while you were left in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. You were left to make a difference. You were left to shine. You were left to hold forth the word of life while maintaining that testimony of a Christian. Paul says, I don't want it to be in vain. And God says the same to you and I. There's too many Christians that they've gotten sidetracked. They don't go to church anymore. They don't even read their Bibles anymore. They don't witness. The devil won that battle. He didn't win the war, but he won that battle in their lives. And so many Christians that have lost their testimony, they've fallen into sin, or they've gotten led astray by false doctrine, but they've lost their testimony. They're no longer someone that the world looks at as an example. But now there's rebuke. Now they're not blameless anymore. And so they've lost that effectiveness. Paul says, no, that shouldn't be us. Yeah, we're in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, but we need to be shining and we need to be holding forth the word of life. That is our advice from God. That is our mission from God. Shine and share this. Really, it comes down to that, doesn't it? Shine for Jesus, share the word, and be effective at it. We're going to get to heaven and we're not going to say, wow, I spent too much time serving God. Nobody's going to say that. I have all these regrets that I gave God so much of my energy. No. We're not going to regret anything we did for God, are we? Because we're going to spend forever with Him. And so much stuff that we focused on here and got excited about here and wasted time on here, we're going to say, it just didn't matter. It just wasn't important. And I wasted so much time on it, so much energy. So let's focus on what God focuses on, eh? Why Jesus died on the cross and rose again, so that people can be saved from hell. That's really what it's all about. So we are in the midst, no question, of a crooked and perverse nation. And if you're here and you're not born again, you're part of that. But you can become part of God's family through salvation. Jesus died and rose again that you might have eternal life, and He offers it to everyone. As a gift, you must be willing to repent of your sin and admit God is right and you are wrong. And if you're willing to do that and ask God for His salvation, He's willing to give it. Praise God. And I hope that in a few moments you would do that if you're not saved. Christian, if you are saved, what is your perspective on this old world? Is it constantly complaining about how terrible it is? Or instead realizing what a great opportunity you have to shine in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. Same wicked world, same Christian. It's all about perspective, isn't it? In the midst, let's pray. Lord, thank you for your precious and powerful word and for reminding us why we're here as Christians, that we might shine for Jesus, that we might hold forth the precious word of life to a lost and dying world, to a crooked and a perverse nation. Lord, there are always some that will hear. We know that, or we wouldn't be here this morning. And so may we just keep reaching out and finding those ones that are seeking, Lord, that they might be saved. And Lord, may we maintain our testimony and not get distracted by the devil. And I pray, Lord, for someone in our service not saved, I pray they'll realize Jesus died and rose again, that they could be saved. And they'll trust Christ today and seal their eternal destiny. So thank you, Lord, for speaking to our hearts. We love you and pray in Jesus' name.